But if you can get beyond the words, things aren't all that clear. For example, it's not clear what's going on. It's not clear who I am. If it's real clear to you who you are, you probably haven't started thinking very much yet. Because you're not your name, or your job. Certainly you're not your children. You're not your significant other. That's called codependency. I'm you and you're me and we're miserable together. But thank God we have a good therapist. But heaven help us if he brings up constant change or death, let alone uncertainty, let alone the idea that neither one of us is right because neither one of us knows anything. And we're there because we both know something and it's different and we're having these arguments over it, so we're now having some outside help. And heaven help us if the outside help tells us neither one of us knows what we're talking about. Because maybe the outside help read Ecclesiastes. Maybe even thought about it. Maybe the outside help knows that he or she doesn't know anything either. But is the patient ready for the cure? Yeah, I knew quite a well-known psychiatrist one time. And she said, Verrett, this woman had been doing it for years. And she said, Verrett, I know the first time I meet a patient what their problem is. I know it right away. They call the first visit, you know, this isn't really secret, you can find it in textbooks, but they call the first visit, you go to the therapist. The therapists call the first visit the presentation. What did the person present in the first 50 minutes? Now, therapists know the presentation has nothing to do with why the person's there. So this woman says, I knew on the first visit why they were there. And the only question she said, as the time went on, was if and when they'd be able to talk about what I saw on the first visit. And she said, if it went on long enough, and I decided they were not going to be ready to talk, to deal with it, I would thank them for coming and give them some appropriate medication that allowed them to live with themselves and send them on their way. They'll never be ready. For what? All is emptiness. You're going to get old and die. Your problems aren't that important. Get over it. Yeah. All you got today, all you have is today. Well, I'm not happy today. Okay. That's a choice. A lot of people make it. It's comfortable. It's familiar. Kind of not being happy. He claims that those who amass great fortunes are the most unhappy of people. And those of you who are trying to amass one probably aren't going to buy into that. No, once I amass mine, I will be happy. I'm going to be different. He also points out that those who are amassing great fortunes can never amass enough. You can never have enough. And if you, whatever you're trying to amass, you'll never get enough. Friends, people who validate your point of view. Oh yeah, you're right on, man. Life sucks. Sure does. Go over to Winchester's and talk about it. Well, So we're all going through this kind of vaporous thing, this mist called life. And we're, in spite of our best efforts, it's largely unpredictable. And and we don't know ourselves, but we think we do. And we don't know each other, but we think we do. And some people, he says it's good to have a friend. If you're aware of these things that you don't know, but you haven't given up. You haven't taken the easy way out and saying, okay, it's all emptiness, so screw it. No, the whole thing is, what do you do with the realization that it's all emptiness? What do you do with the realization that time passes? What do you do with the realization that you're mortal? Your body's going to get old and die. Those are like the beginning points. And from then on, it's, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the realities of human existence? You're going to ignore them? That's what he calls the fool. Then the fool will just ignore all this stuff. If it happens to come up, they get rid of it. But time will catch up with the fool too. And the fool, who hasn't thought about any of these things, or not much, they usually end up getting disillusioned, he says. Why? Because things keep changing and they keep getting older. So they start getting angry. So you end up with a bunch of angry old people. Because this wasn't supposed to happen. What the hell's happened? Nothing. Just what happens to everything. So it's best to face it, he says. And at the very end of the book, there's a section called Advice to a Young Man. And his main advice to the young man is to enjoy your youth while you have it, but be aware of God. This is going to call you to account for every one of your deeds and every one of your secrets. Because the ways of God, while inscrutable, are timely. And they're cyclic. That's why there's a time for everything. And everything, it just goes around. Birth and maturation, old age, death, birth, you know, it just keeps going around. And so he advises a young man to be aware of God. Be aware that you don't know what it is, but whatever it is, all of your actions are going to incur reactions, and all of your secrets are going to be revealed. Some people would call this pure Buddhism. He says the only way to walk through this fog called life and not be a shadow is to seek wisdom. Once you know you don't know, once you know you're mortal, once you know you only have so much time, you don't know how much, then there's really nothing left to do that makes any sense to the rational mind but to try to understand what one can. Seek for wisdom.